Whether you're here with us online today or later on in the week, good morning to you in the name of our Savior Jesus. Welcome to St. Paul's and the Bridge. I am Pastor Nathan Strobel. I am privileged to be your online host for today, along with Sally Wollner, who is our bridge host on Facebook today. Feel free to reach out to her through that social media with questions about St. Paul's or the bridge or this ministry. A pleasure to have you on board. Hey, guess what? I'm starting the new Following the Promise class in just a few weeks. September 29th, a Tuesday night, we'll meet from 7 to 8:15 online over Zoom platform. All you need is a phone or a tablet or a computer to get on board. I send you a link, and it's 12 weeks. Class is recorded, so you can go on vacation. You can miss 2-3 weeks and make it up and say, I did Following the Promise. I visited the truth of God's Word from before creation to the halls of heaven and my spot in Jesus there as well. Along the road of life with life's challenges, it's good for you and me to remember that we have pastors on board here at St. Paul's to serve you. You'll see Pastor Pete through the sermon message today. You got my mug in front of you right now. And there's also Pastor Keel and Pastor Bonock who are here to serve you as well. So just reach out to us through the website or phone into the congregation with the phone number that's posted on screen and send us a voicemail. It comes to us directly as email. We're happy to serve you. Along the road of life, we gather from week to week, and next week is our outdoor worship service, 10:30. God willing, the rain goes away, it's sunny for the day and warm for us to gather one more time for a picnic setting. And we'll try to do it in October yet too, depending on what God does with the weather. So join us next week, 10:30, in place of the bridge and in place of the 10:45 service that day. Today we continue or start a new sermon series theme called Better Together, talking about how we as God's people are better together in and under our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today, Pastor Pete will take us into the Word of God and challenge us to think about me. How is life together better when I know myself and I know what Jesus says about me, especially about me being a forgiven and redeemed child of God? Tony Derelius is our worship leader for today. Pastor Pete brings us that message. In front of you are the songs that the band is bringing our way today in praise of our God and to fill our hearts with worship and praise. God's blessings on your worship. God's blessings on our time together. We sing, we pray, we praise to His glory and the joy of our hearts, always remembering that we are better together. We throw it to the band.
Morning, Bridge. Welcome to those of you who are joining us here in person today. Thank you for joining us online. We're going to stand up. Let's stand up in the sanctuary here, and we're going to sing our first song, Lay Me Down. It's a song that we can get to praise our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Words will be on the screen. Please sing with us.
Open wide from the depths, from the heights, I will bring a sacrifice. These hands lifted high, hear my song, hear my cry, they will bring a sacrifice. A sacrifice. I lay me down, I'm not my own. I belong to you alone.
of my pride, giving up all my rights. Take this light and let it shine, shine, shine. Take this light and let it shine. I lay me down, I'm not my own. I belong to you alone. Lay me down, lay me down. Whoa, and on my heart this much is true. There's no life apart from you. Lay me down, lay me down. Whoa, lay me down, lay me down.
Yeah. It will be my joy to say
your will.
Amen. You all may be seated at this time. Well, welcome again, everybody. My name is Tony DeRailius, and I have the privilege and opportunity to be one of the worship leaders here at the Bridge and St. Paul's. Our next song we are going to use to do two things with. We are going to confess our sins through this song, and we are also going to prepare our hearts for the message. It's a familiar song. It's Lord, I Need You, but I want you to focus on the aspect of this, that every day we sin, and every day Jesus' blood washes those sins away. The part of the theme that brings in here is that we can't do this alone. There's no action that we can do to save us from our sins. It is Jesus that does everything for us. So I want us to sing this one together, and sing it loud, and words will be on the screen.
Thank you.
bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, fall apart. You're the one that guides my
together. That's our message theme for this next few weeks. And as we look at
This first lesson for today, you would think that the household that we're going to look at would be a perfect example of better together, that there would be this perfect, marvelous unity in this household. After all, this household was led by somebody who was perfect. The household I'm talking about is the household of the apostles, the disciples gathering around with Jesus. Jesus is the head of the household. He's the perfect pastor of the family church that we talk about. God be praised. Everything is going to go just great in this family. But in this lesson, we're going to hear the leader of this household call a member of the household a harsh, cutting name. And the problem won't be with the leader of the household. The problem will be with Peter. And ultimately, the problem is with all of us. As we think about this whole idea of unity, that God wants us united, we are better together, that we need each other. As we look at our lesson for today, Matthew chapter 16, beginning of verse 21, we will see that the obstacle to we in the apostles, the family of the apostles, the disciples, was Peter. And if there was going to be unity within that household, Peter was called to change. And that's true of us as well. That if we want to be a we have to recognize that really the only obstacle that we can deal with is me. The obstacle to we is me. So let me read the gospel lesson for today. It's Matthew chapter 16, beginning at verse 21. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go up to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." Satan. Woo. That's pretty strong words. Why did Jesus call Peter Satan? Adversary, my enemy, somebody who is trying to trip me up in my calling. Well, let me go back just a little bit farther in the gospel. The setting for this account is to the far northern reaches of Galilee. Jesus has taken his disciples off by themselves at the foot of Mount Hermon near the city of Caesarea Philippi. And there he asked them, you know, what do people say about me? And then finally he narrows it down to the critical question, what do you say about me? Who do you say I am? And Peter, the natural leader of the group, he speaks up for everybody. You are the Christ. You are the Messiah, the promised Savior. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And it's after he makes this marvelous confession that Jesus begins to clearly lay out what it means to be the Messiah. What will it take for Jesus to fulfill the promise of the Savior? And that's where our lesson begins. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go up to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hand of the elders, the chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed. Period. Stop. Now, if you listen carefully to the first time I read it, you go, that's not where the period ends, or the period is. That's not where the sentence ends. It goes on and says, and on the third day be raised to life. But Peter and the apostles, when they heard Jesus talk about what it meant to be the Messiah, they always closed their ears after killed. That's where the sentence stopped in their minds. They didn't even hear the rest of it. And that's why Peter says, never, Lord, this shall never happen to you. This is not my vision of what the Messiah's ministry should be. You are the Messiah, the promised Christ, the Son of the living God. You should experience glory and victory, not suffering and death. This will never happen to you. Peter's not the only one who wants to say to Jesus, this should never happen. It's been 3 months or 6 months since many of us said, this should never happen, when we said no in-person worship. How could that possibly happen? This should never happen. This is something that we say very often when people that we love and care about are sick, or if there's problems in our family, or you have financial hardships. You know, Jesus, we're your children. Don't you care about us? This should never happen. Because there's a part of us that's just like Peter, who says, you know, if we are God's children, if Jesus is the Messiah, then we should experience glory right now. And Jesus says something to Peter that I don't know how he ever got past. How do you get past hearing your friend, your Savior say, Satan, adversary, enemy? I can understand why he said that. Jesus had been battling that temptation his entire ministry. When Jesus began his ministry, Satan threw that temptation in Jesus' face. You don't have to go through the cross. You can enjoy glory right now. All you have to do is bow down and worship me, and all the kingdoms of the world will be yours. Glory is yours. Just take the easy way out. And Satan then leaves him after tempting him, and he waits for an opportune time. And here is one of those opportune times. He speaks through Jesus' friend Peter. Get behind me, Satan. You're my enemy's mouthpiece. How did Peter get past that? Those are sharp words. How do we get past it? When our Savior convicts us, when he convicts us of grumbling and complaining about the way he's ruling the world and we aren't experiencing glory the way we think we should, how do we get past it? Do you know what happens next in the gospel accounts? After this conversation in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all three of the gospel accounts tell us that about a week later, the very next account that's recorded, Jesus shows some special favor to Peter. He says to Peter, James, and John, come along with me. Let's go up on this mountain. I want you to be there when I'm praying. And Peter is there at the Mount of Transfiguration, where Jesus displays all of his glory. How did Jesus help Peter get past the fact that he had failed, that he had become an enemy, a Satan to Jesus? He spent time with Jesus. Jesus spent time with Peter. He said, I still want an intimate and personal relationship with you. You are still my friend in spite of all your failures. In fact, in the message outline, I just reference Mark chapter 16, verse 7. The reason why I do that is Mark is considered the gospel of the Apostle Peter. In Peter's letters, in his first letter, Peter mentions Mark, that Mark was one of his co-workers. So near the end of Peter's ministry, Mark is right there. And then in Peter's second letter, Peter promises, you know, I'm going to die pretty soon, but I'm going to make sure that the story continues, that my testimony will be preserved. And so the church has long considered Mark's gospel to be Peter's story, Peter's testimony. And in Mark chapter 16, Mark records something that certainly would have stood out in Peter's mind. You know, the gospel writers, as they record the events of Easter, don't record every detail. Each one of the gospel writers includes details that the other doesn't. And Mark is the only one who records this detail. The women go out to the empty tomb. They see the angels there. And the angels tell the women, go and tell the disciples and Peter that I'll meet them in Galilee. Peter certainly would have said, that's an incredibly important part of the story for me, that Jesus called me by name at that critical time because he had just failed again. Remember, he said, he pulls Jesus aside again on Thursday night and says, Jesus, you made a mistake again. I will never deny you. Yeah, you know the story. Tell the disciples and Peter, I still claim you, Peter, as my friend. I want a personal relationship with you. How do we get past the Savior in His Word convicting us of our sins, basically saying to us, you are my enemy by every sin that you commit. You are and my adversary. You are my Satan. How do we get past it? It's by remembering that same Savior God expresses His desire for a personal, close relationship with us. You know, here at the Bridge, every Sunday, half an hour before the public service, before we go online, we have the Lord's Supper. Why? Because this is one of those places where the Savior says, I want a personal relationship with you. He makes a promise. He says, you know that little wafer of bread? I promise that in this supper, my body is present in that bread. And I gave that bread, or that gave that body on the cross for you. Not just for everybody, but for you personally as you receive the supper. And he promises that his blood is present in the wine. And as we taste that wine and we smell it, the Savior is saying to us very personally, I shed my blood on that cross for you. Not just for everybody, but for you. It's Jesus' way of saying to each of us, go and tell the disciples and Peter and Tom and Karen. Go and tell my child personally that I love them and I forgive them. And it's when you and I find that healing in this marvelous promise of forgiveness that God gives us in His Word, but gives us in such a personal way in the Lord's Supper, that we're ready for what Jesus says next. He says, you know, whoever wants to follow me must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. To follow Jesus means to carry a cross. Oh, we're going to experience glory. We are privileged to live on the other side of Jesus' prophecy. We know that He not only suffered and died, but on the third day He rose again from the dead, that He is now in glory, and that we will experience glory with Him on the last day. Our bodies will rise victorious from the grave, just as Jesus did. His tomb was empty, and our tomb will be empty too. Glory is awaiting us. But now the cross. But what is that cross? For many years, I thought of the cross as sickness that you might have, or family troubles, or financial troubles. That's not the cross. You don't take up sickness. You don't take up financial problems. And even unbelievers have those things. What is it, the cross, that you and I are called to take up? You have to remember the words just before that reference to the cross. Deny yourself and take up your cross. You see, the cross is not the troubles that we experience. The cross is how we respond to those troubles. The cross is saying no to ourselves. And that cross will take different forms as we go through life. I think of some of you guys who are in school right now. Your parents are trying their best to figure out where is that happy balance between giving you some freedom so that you learn from your mistakes and yet protecting you. And every child knows their parents blow it. The cross is to say no to the desire for rebellion that rises in your hearts. To deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. You know, God has wired us to have sexual desires, right? And that's a gift from God. But the cross is to deny ourselves, to deny that natural desire, to satisfy that appetite, and to recognize that God preserves that blessing of sexual intimacy for marriage. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. As you mature into, you know, adulthood, you go, okay, one of the crosses that we bear is, what's my priorities? A text comes through. What's my priorities, right? What do I have to say no to if I'm going to adequately serve the people that God has called me to love? And then when you get older and your body stops working as well as you would like, as well as it used to, what's the cross? The cross isn't the aches and pains. The cross is to deny the natural desire to gripe and complain about the aches and pains. And you know that when you've known some maybe aged Christians who have just had all kinds of pain, that every day is a day of pain, and yet their outlook, their joy in Christ is obvious. Wow, what a marvelous confession. It doesn't come naturally. They've had to deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. And as we think about this theme better together, the cross that we have to bear is to deny the natural desire to point fingers at other people. Oh, certainly, people around us fail. And it's easy to point out their failures. Especially if somebody's in a leadership position like Peter was, it's easy to point out their failures. But if God wants us to be united, he says how blessed it is when brothers and sisters live together in unity, there is life forevermore. If he wants us to be better together, to encourage and help each other, the place to start is to look into your own heart. Where have you been saying to God, "Never, Lord, this should never happen to me. I shouldn't be treated this way. I shouldn't suffer this way." Where do we have to hear our Savior say, "Get behind me, Satan"? That by the attitude of our hearts, we have become his enemy. The obstacle to we begins with me. I pray that we hear the sharp, cutting words of our Savior that call us to repentance. And that we find healing in his forgiveness and strength then to bear the pain, to take up the cross, to say no to ourselves. Confident that now is the time for the cross. The glory will be coming just as surely as Jesus rose from the dead. I'd invite you to please stand and let's pray. Lord Jesus, there are a lot of times that we just don't understand. Times when we want to just scream out and say, "Never, Lord, this should never happen, not just to you, but to us." Where in pride we stand opposed to you, we ask that you would come through the loving words of a friend, through the words of your of the Bible, that we would hear some sharp words of rebuke from you to call us to repentance. Lord, some of us, that's all we hear. We can't get past it. So, Lord, I pray especially for those who right now just feel like they're so far removed and alienated because they've heard your rebuke, Jesus. Let them know that you were thinking about them on Good Friday too. That you poured out your blood for them. You gave your body into death for each individual. Give them healing, Lord, healing to their hearts and souls. And then, Lord, give each one of us strength. That whatever troubles, challenges come into our lives, that you would give us the strength to deny ourselves, to say no to the bitterness, the anger, the self-righteousness, that you would help us to live now to your glory by taking up our cross. In Jesus' name we pray, and in his name we join together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my breathe out of the silence, Lord.
no claim on me.
Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim.
Pastor Nate.
You may be seated. So, Tony, it can be a daunting thing, Jesus as our best friend.
I think it's a great thing.
It's a great thing, yeah. But it gets us thinking with what Pastor Pete said, right? Because a best friend will always tell us what we need to hear. And so when our best friend calls us Satan, that's tough. But as Pastor Pete reminded us, when our best friend died and rose for us, that's joy. So it's awesome, but it's also time to think, time to pause, time to ponder, and land on grace, land on the gospel. Jesus is my friend, better together. Some thoughts quickly as we move into our week, some announcements. If we put the announcement slides up, please, on the screen. There we go. So if you, as God's people, you have been doing a wonderful job of supporting the ministry of the Bridge and of St. Paul's, you can give your offerings on the way out. You can go to our website, stpaulmuskego.org/give, for varieties of ways to give. Thank you from God's heart to yours for supporting this ministry, even in these strange times. Next week, join us outside, God willing. Look ahead at the forecast. Pray for sunshine. We've had our 3 days of rain, and maybe it'll be sunny for a whole week, and next Sunday we're back together 10:30. So no bridge in here like normal, but outside for worship. I believe the praise band is up for next week, right? We know that, I believe? Yeah. So outside 10:30, it replaces the bridge at 10:15 and the 10:45 in the sanctuary. So next week, bring your picnic blanket. You can bring a picnic if you'd like on your own afterwards, but pray for sun and warmth. I'm starting a new Following the Promise class on the 29th of September. If you would like to dive in on Tuesday nights for an hour and 15 minutes and revisit God's heart of love for you from before the creation of the world till the halls of heaven, check it out online. Text me. Let me know you'd like to be involved. Every time around, we have members and non-members, people just saying, hey, can I review or can I learn for the first time? Come on and join us. We have Tammy up there for a child care center. If you know of someone who just gave birth to a child and needs a child care center to love that child from 6 weeks to 3 years, contact Tammy and let her know. We'd love to fit you in and love your child. These are the songs the band sang for us, with us today. We're going to close out Who You Say I Am. To God be the glory as we continue our worship. Thanks, guys, for your work today, taking our hearts to the throne room of the King. Let's close with a blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with his favor and give you his peace. In the name of Christ, our best friends, God's people say, sing us home.
For our last song, let's stand and sing this one together. Thank you so much for joining us in worshiping our Savior. We'll see you outside next week. Have a great week, everybody.